Coming to you from the studios at the Illinois Rock and Roll Museum on Route 66, it's the Rock and Roll Chicago Podcast.
Hey, everybody, it's Ray the Roadie.
And this is Hollywood Mike. How you doing today, Ray?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing fantastic.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, you know, continuation from a couple weeks ago.
Yeah?
Yeah, I did it. I pulled the trigger.
Did you?
I bought the Bad Cat Black Cat amplifier.
You did?
Yeah, I did.
Wow.
You know what? I went and that's the only one I couldn't play. I went to Chicago Music Exchange and they had the Jet Black there, and they had a couple other models there, but mm-hmm. that Black Cat right now is like the hot amplifier. They didn't have one. So I was like, you know what? If I actually want to play one, I got to buy one. So I bought it, and I got 45 days to return it if I don't like it, but I have a feeling I'm going to like it.
You played it?
I haven't played
it. No, not yet. Huh?
No, no. It'll be delivered Friday.
Oh, okay. Maybe so, we'll see it Sunday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. If I like it. If I don't like it, I'm not going to bring it. But if I like it, we'll have it on Sunday.
Very cool.
Yeah, we're going to mess around with it a little bit.
Very cool.
So that'll just mess up everybody, because Tom sent out a text to everybody, kind of giving them a stage plot.
Oh, and
to let the guitar players you're gonna be, know.
Yep.
Yeah. And I gave Tom a couple of options of what I would normally bring with. So right. I'm going to show up with the Bad Cat.
Yeah.
And it just mess everybody up.
That's right. That's okay. That'll be more fun that way.
Yeah.
So these guys are sitting here looking at us like, I thought you invited us to talk to us, not to talk to each other.
Yeah. Who we got?
We got Foco. How you doing, guys?
Excellent.
Good, sir.
Awesome. Yeah.
Why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself? Tell the folks who you are and what you do in the band.
I am Julian Balboa. I play guitar and I've been a member, I don't know, about 3 years now. We brought Chad in about a year or two ago. And Chad?
Yeah, I'm Chad Van Dam. I'm the new guy. About, what is it, a year?
Just over a year. Yeah, First gig was December 23.
Hold on.
22.
Hold on. We got Balboa.
Yeah, and Van Dam.
And Van Dam. Yeah,
that is correct.
Yeah. Don't mess with us, right?
Yeah. That's pretty cool.
That is cool.
And you guys probably get booked just because of that.
Yes.
Sure.
Yeah. No, you do. I know you do. Years and years ago, when I was a much younger man, I was in a hard rock band, and people booked us because I looked like Dwayne the Rock Johnson.
I could see that.
And I mean, my hair was different in the whole bit and everything. And we got booked because literally, I can't tell you how many times people said, wait, is that The Rock? Yeah, he's in our band. Yeah. No, that was it.
Oh, but that's good though. But we did have that one interview with that one band. It was a country band.
Yeah.
And the one member, his name was Mark Tater.
Yeah.
That is a perfect country
name. That's a country name. Yeah. Mark Tater. Yeah. That's it. So we got Balboa and Van Dam. That's awesome. So tell us about your stuff. What do you guys do?
Well, I guess I'll start off. Foco was developed mainly for our love of Foreigner. And, you know, the tribute scene here in Chicago is pretty good. But we kind of were getting booked for shows that were a little longer than your typical Foreigner show, would be about 2 hours.
Right.
So we quickly realized we needed something else. And we were also big fans of Bad Company.
Oh, yeah.
So we took Foreigner and Bad Company, and we said, man, this is a great combination. You know, you get the best of two good bands from the 70s. And then we wanted to add just a little bit more of something that could spice it up. And I'm a sound engineer myself, and I've been working the Festival for the Beatles fans for the last 11, 12 years. And you guys probably know that Badfinger was supposed to be the new Beatles. It was supported by Paul McCartney and those guys. Mm-hmm. And I got an opportunity to meet Joey Moland and some of the other guys from Badfinger. And the audience just went crazy for their 4 or 5 big hits.
Right.
And we're like, hey, 4 or 5 big hits. That's just enough spice to add it. So
right.
So Foco is mainly Foreigner, Bad Company, and the four or five big Badfinger hits.
Right.
And we play those songs, and occasionally we go a little longer. We've designed a two-hour show or a 60-minute show or a 90-minute show, but a lot of the clubs like a three-hour show. And just to break things up, we do what's called the Focal Plus, and that is the plus songs, which are just some of our favorite stuff from that kind of same era. It's got to be in that same era. Head East is one of the songs.
Never Been Any Reason.
Never Been Any Reason.
Flat as a Pancake.
Yeah. We do Stealing by Uriah Heep.
Nice.
So again, just a little bit of variety, but the majority of the fans know what they're going to get when they walk in the door. It's going to be Foreigner, Bad Company, and Badfinger.
Easy sell.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. They were my favorites when they were out back in the 70s. Just loved them.
Yeah, you've got me. I mean, any blues-based rock and roll is up my alley. That's awesome.
And at Badfinger, they came out on the Apple record label. Yep. You know, and I know people were talking about that. They were saying that it is the Beatles. That,
right.
You know, nobody knew who they really were, but they weren't the Beatles.
Yeah, they weren't the Beatles, no.
Yeah, not even close. I mean, that was kind of weird to say that they were going to be like the next Beatles, but I never even saw that. That was like two different things to me.
Yeah, and in such, you know, as with many rock and roll bands, a lot of tragedy in that band.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a shame they didn't stick around for the period of time the Rolling Stones did.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
that's just crazy. And they're they just came out with a new album.
New album, and they're going on tour, yeah.
That is unbelievable.
Is that great? Oh my God.
Yeah. Where are they finding the energy?
And they were actually together before the Beatles.
Oh, yeah. Of course they were.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So,
I mean,
so you're talking 61, 62 until now.
Yeah. Yeah. The Beatles are quitters.
Yeah. Might still like to have their money.
But there's just so many different places that you can take that because, I mean, you're talking about Bad Company. I mean, you can associate Zeppelin because didn't Bad Company first record on the Physical Graffiti label?
Yeah. What was that label name? That was the same label. Jimmy Page.
Swan Song.
That's what it is. Yeah. Right.
Swan Song was it.
They first recorded on Swan Song. I believe Jimmy Page produced that first album or two.
Yeah. Right.
And, just great songs overall.
I mean, you could go down. This is the kind of thing where you could go down a musical rabbit hole. Okay, we're doing Bad Company. Okay, let's do Zeppelin. Okay, now let's do some Yardbirds. Okay, you can just go down a musical rabbit hole.
And when it comes to the plus songs, that's kind of what we do. We're doing Free because what's his name? Paul Rogers was Free. So there's an offshoot there. At the last show we did, we were just goofing around with Cashmere. We're like, hey, man, we got to add that to the set.
Right,
you know?
Right. What was that Jimmy Page band in the Firm?
The Firm.
Yeah.
The Firm.
Yeah. Yeah. Radioactive.
We've talked about that song, but we're not big fans of that one. But that's exactly the idea that we're going
But, with. People would love that song, though. I mean, they would. I'm not a fan of it either, but I think people from that era would hear that song and be like, oh my God, high school.
Yeah, because nobody plays it.
Right.
So if you came out with that, people would be like freaked.
Well, that's what you've just hit on the key of what the magic of Foco is, you go see some local bands and they may play Rock and Roll Fantasy, but nobody plays Jukebox Hero.
No.
Or
the deep cuts.
What are the ballads we do that just blows me away. Like the audience bob their head and sing along. You can see it all happen. The minute we hit the ballads, the dance floor is all slow dancers.
Right.
And they seem to love it, and those songs, nobody plays those songs.
No. No, you know? No, especially not the ballads because they're too hard to play.
I want
to
know what love is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're fast. Their faster upbeat songs were fantastic, but they made a name for themselves with the ballads, in the late 80s, everybody loved those, not the sad thing, but I listened to my musical moped is yacht rock.
Oh yeah, love it.
And when
do you like pina coladas?
Oh gosh, you know what? But I'll tell you what, it's you know, I never in my life bought any of those albums by any of those bands, but you put on the Yacht Rock station on Pandora or Spotify or whatever, and you know the words to every one of those songs, and you hear a lot of those Foreigner songs on the Yacht Rock station. Yeah, do. But that's not a bad thing, though.
I mean, AM radio in the 70s, yeah. WLS. Yeah. I mean, that's all that was Yacht Rock.
Yeah, yeah.
That's right.
Now the Firm, because Paul Rodgers was the singer of that band. And Jimmy Page was the guitar player in that band. Who's the bass player and the drummer in that? Because I think that song would kind of tie all your stuff together, because I think you had a member from every one of the bands we named in that band.
Are you pushing us to do Yacht Rock? Is that what
you're saying? No.
It's a big scene in Chicago.
Not Yacht Rock. Not Yacht Rock, but something by the Firm I think would be cool.
Okay.
You know, Yacht Rock, but Yacht Rock is a big scene, because I can't tell you how many times
I don't know why.
You know, the Ron Burgundy's, have you guys seen them?
Yeah. Yep. I've been called so many times by people saying, hey, can you available to do a Yacht Rock gig? No. Thankfully, I've got my own band as a gig that night, but I would totally do it if I had the time available, because those guys were good musicians. But so who's not here in the band?
Well, we're a 6-piece band. Okay. The other 4 members are Andy Benanti. He plays keyboards and shaker and percussion. And Gino Fontana is our drummer.
All right.
We got Tom Quinlan is our other guitar player, and Rob Farina is our bass player.
Bass player. Yeah. Okay. And you're the lead vocalist?
Yes.
Excellent. Yeah. Okay. All righty. Man, are you the only vocalist? Does anybody else sing a thing?
Everybody's singing.
Everybody sings? Yes. Well, that's good.
Except the drum guy.
The drummer and the keyboard player don't sing. The bass player does little singing, but the 2 guitar players do a lot of harmonies.
Talking lead singer, though. I mean, does anybody else sing lead on some songs?
Well, no. Tom Quinlan does some.
Okay.
You guys do a couple duets.
That's feeling and Never Been Any Reason. It's a duet.
Yeah. Okay.
Two men singing to each other.
Two men singing. That's great. Weird, that's beautiful.
There's anything wrong with that.
Not at all. You can stare into each other's eyes. You can't cross the swords.
We do. Right. We do.
So you're doing like 30 songs a night by yourself or whatever it is.
For the most part.
Welcome to the club, brother. I feel your pain. So you're not doing very many 3 in a row then, are you guys?
No, usually it's once a week.
Yeah.
If that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It'd be nice if it was once a week, but
yeah,
it's actually about every 4 weeks.
Okay. You know, that's okay. Mm-hmm. How long you guys been together?
Well, the band kind of started with Rob Farina is, as far as I know, the only original member. And there was a singer and a drummer who recruited some other musicians and ultimately came to me to play guitar. And then we kind of started to replace people with more seasoned musicians. Right. So that is part of the FOCO challenge, is everybody is a very seasoned musician. We're all in different bands and our the music business. So we typically like to play once a month, but you know, that can be anywhere from 6 to 12 times a year, usually higher, you know, profile gigs. But they're all really seasoned musicians. So what Chad was alluding at is we rarely practice, you know. And, you know, it's like,
we have to bring that up.
Yeah, we do have to bring that up. But because we play, it seems the less we practice, the better we play. And the truth to that is that, you know, it's on the record. So go home and practice and show up at the gig, know your stuff. And
right.
Apparently the police are coming for us. They don't like the fact that we don't practice.
Yeah, they're coming to get you.
To get us.
No practice police.
It's not that we don't practice together or play. I mean, every one of us is on a gig usually every week.
Right.
Again, just seasoned guys, just show up and play, and we really have a good time together. That's why we keep doing it, despite the fact that we don't spend much time together during the week.
Right, right. But that's okay, though.
Who are you?
Yeah. But you definitely have a point, because in my opinion, it kind of elevates everybody's musicianship. I play in a band. We don't rehearse. We get together maybe 8 times of the year and go over new music that we're going to add for the year. But we play like 65, 70 gigs a year. So yeah. Who's got time to rehearse?
Right.
You know,
yeah.
Every gig is a rehearsal. You know, yeah. We get, you know, and it forces you to listen to each other.
Yeah.
You know, you have to do it that way. And that's, you know, that's the best way. I think it builds everybody's musicianship for sure.
Yeah, do you guys all have other projects going on?
Oh, yeah. Why don't you start with what you got?
Oh, I was in Lights Out Chicago.
Okay.
Yeah. The UFO.
Yep.
And
no, you're not with them anymore.
No.
Okay.
No. And I formed a new band, Ashes of Eden.
Okay.
Which is a Breaking Benjamin tribute band.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And recently joined My Sacrifice, Creed.
Yeah. Band. Yeah. No kidding. Wow. Yeah. Not to be mean or
that
anything,
hasn't been announced though. Is this going out anywhere?
is anybody listening? Hello.
Yeah. Not right now.
This will be going out on April 23rd.
So make sure you got all your bridges covered and
it'll
burned
covered by
then.
Yeah.
I believe I'll be in the Mediterranean on April 23rd. So hopefully
the internet is everywhere.
Excellent. Yeah, so
I have to say this. I can't believe that there's still a tribute band.
Yeah.
Wow.
There's two, I believe. There's a second one.
Yeah.
Because unfortunately, Creed has got so much shit. I mean, undeservedly, in my opinion, because I was a huge Creed fan. Mm-hmm. But then all of a sudden, for some reason, when Scott Stapp had his meltdown, which happened here in Chicago, right? And the band kind of broke up and fell apart. Everybody just crapped on them and it's like, get rid of Creed. We don't want to hear anything. And I mean, literally all of their songs, everything on the radio just disappeared and went away forever.
It's coming back.
Yeah.
They're getting back together.
They're doing a tour and they're recording a new album.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very cool.
They are. Cause I heard there was a comedian. I was in Kansas one time and I can't remember this guy's name, but cause he was a
Toto.
No, kind of an up and coming comedian. And he says, and he's talking about Creed and he goes, Creed was this band from the 90s. You know, that was kind of like this whiny rock and roll. Right. And then all of a sudden Nickelback came around and Creed disappeared and everybody heard Nickelback. And then after they got sick of Nickelback, they said, okay, call Creed. But I liked Creed. I really did. I was glad to hear they're getting back together again. Yeah. So, wow. That's interesting.
Yeah.
So you guys been rehearsing for that project?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. They actually rehearse.
They
need it.
When you're taking that on the road.
It'll be, the first show is officially at Hobart Art Theater.
Okay.
Nice place.
Yeah, and then here in Joliet.
Wow. Where at?
At the Forge.
Oh, nice. Right across the street.
I
noticed that.
We'll be headlining there.
That's excellent. Excellent. You're going to be there with a few other bands then?
Yes. Corduroy and Stone Type thing, I believe.
So that's got to be a Stone Temple Pilots tribute band.
Infinite Sadness.
Okay. Yeah. Wow. No kidding. Yeah. When's the date of that? Do you know?
May 18th, 12, 18? 12 or 18th.
Yeah.
I have to look it up.
So the owners of the Forge, if you are looking to dump some money into a podcast and sponsor us.
For sure.
We would love to have you come.
We're right across the street.
We're right across the street. We can get together next door at Juliet's and drink some bourbon together.
Exactly.
You can just deal out.
You can come over and drop your check off for your advertising on the show. Piece of cake.
Yeah, no kidding. Wow. Wow, that's interesting. I'm going to have to check that out.
18th.
Yeah, so.
18th, May 18th.
May 18th.
Yeah.
So I'll be in Florida.
Oh, lucky you.
Yeah, I got to go to a wedding.
So what do you have going on?
Well, I got a couple of things going on. One of the subsequent from the original drummers in Foco was a guy named Hugo Ayala, who I was in several bands with, and he has now moved on to Hillbilly Rockstars. I don't know if you guys know that.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Yeah, know them well. So they play all the time now. How's it going, guys? He has a little bit less time for the three or four bands that we were in, but one of them that has survived is called Rat Pack, and that's a rat tribute band.
Most excellent.
I get to play Robin Crosby in that.
Nice.
Yeah, wear red leather pants and... Yeah. Long blonde wigs and
grows his hair out.
Yeah. I still have mine. I still have my red leather pants.
Yes.
If any of our listeners out there are interested, Hillbilly Rock Stars is episode 66 of the Rock and Roll Chicago podcast.
Yeah. Look at that.
Red leather pants and the mesh you know, muscle shirt and stuff like that. You get to wear that stuff.
Not the muscle.
Yeah, I don't know about the muscle. You usually wear a vest and show off the cannons, but gun show, right?
Yeah.
And then, so I'm in Foco, and that's the two bands I'm in. But I run sound for a fairly large local band called Aura.
Oh, yeah.
We just had them in here a few weeks ago.
Yeah, I remember seeing something about that. In fact, Kevin was just calling me about some dates. I'm the primary sound guy for them. There's a couple other guys that fill in when I can't make it.
Wow. Okay.
And I do some work for the old lead singer of our Pete Greco. And
who we had in here a few months ago. Yeah. Yeah. We know all those guys. Yeah.
Puppets.
Yeah.
So those guys take up the majority of my dates.
Okay.
So we need to find good spots for Foco to play, which our next show, by the way, is it's going to be in April. What is it? April 6th.
Ooh, that'll be before this is put out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
This is coming out the 23rd of April.
Yeah.
Well, if you were at that show, it was fantastic.
Yeah. It's just like the fish that I caught that was this big.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had a good time there, Mike. It was a great show.
It was fantastic.
Open bar.
Yeah.
That was fantastic.
It was awesome. And, you know, topless optional. It was great. You guys should go and check these guys out.
Yeah. And we got, you know, some dates. We do tend to play more north, although I'd love to get into the Forge, although this drive was a little bit much for me, but a lot of times we're up at Sundance Saloon or the Broken Oar. Seems to be a couple places we play quite often.
Yeah, you guys from up north basically is where you're from.
Yeah, the Gilberts area for me.
Gilberts. Wow. Yeah, you did come a long way.
Yeah, well, I work in Sugar Grove, which is close to where he lives. Yeah,
okay, stone's throw. I'm in Aurora.
Okay,
West Aurora, right near Sugar Grove.
So. Yeah, okay, that's not too bad. But geez, yeah, you guys are out there, and that's all right. But still, not the farthest though.
No, you're not the farthest.
Still not the farthest.
Mm-hmm. Who wins that trophy?
We had a band in here. It was two brothers and another guy, trio, and brother lives in Green Bay.
Ooh.
He drove down from Green Bay, and I asked him at the end of the night, I said, so you're going to stay at your brother's tonight? Oh, no, I'm driving home. He drove down.
It's like a five-hour drive.
Yeah. Yeah. He said it's anything for the band. He does it for the band.
Yeah, it's about 3.5 to 4 hours both ways.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, he did the whole thing. Great band, though. Man, they were fantastic. Three-piece band, and I swear to God, their singer was great. They sounded like Queensrÿche. Really good. Excellent band. Yeah. 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 With three guys.
Yeah. It was Meltdown episode 118.
Meltdown. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They were excellent. Good band. So, well, yeah, that is out there. Now we can help you figure out how to get some folks down here and get some gigs around here.
Sure.
That's a cool place over there for sure.
Yeah.
I want to see pictures of him in a blonde wig.
Yeah.
With the red leather pants.
We can make that happen.
Oh, he's going to make that happen. Because when I was, I graduated from high school in 1988 and, back then, I had long hair. My hair was about as long as yours.
Yeah.
My hair was about as long as yours, but I have naturally curly hair. Mm-hmm. So everybody said I looked like Vito Bratta from White Lion. I wore leather pants. I even had a hot pink Washburn guitar.
Didn't we all back in that day?
Back in that day. It had to be hot pink, or it had to be that crackle paint job or something.
Leopard print.
Well, yeah. Well,
you might have to see this in two pictures because this one doesn't have any pants in it. Well, it's not that I'm not wearing pants. Yeah. Just it's a chest up shot.
I'm not even going to look under the table.
Wait. Can I?
Yes.
Let me see this. Who was that with you?
That would be my wife.
Uh-oh.
She looks very familiar to me.
Yeah. Her name is Tracy.
And, okay.
She grew up in the Elmhurst area and... You had divulged your age to us, which I'm not going to share.
Yeah.
But we're very close in age, and she's my same age
too. Yeah. So. No, you know, if anything else, no, she looks very familiar to me. The more than likely, because you mentioned a couple of places that I play quite frequently. So maybe that's where I've seen her before.
And here's the red leather pants and the.
Man.
Wow.
You folks in podcast land are really missing this.
You're missing you're missing out.
Too bad it's not a video.
Actually, you should send me the pics and I'll put them up on our Facebook page.
Yeah, for sure.
That's an armadillo, by the way.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
You're listening to the Rock and Roll Chicago Podcast.
I'm Christy from Crime Cave Podcast. I've had a huge interest in true crime since my days of watching marathons of Snapped back in the mid-90s. I needed an outlet to talk about the cases that have haunted me for a very long time. With each episode under 20 minutes, I shine a light on some of the most bizarre cases in the last 50 years. Join me in the Crime Cave.
Hi, I'm Rick Anthony. I'd like to thank my radio brothers, Ray the Roadie and Hollywood Mike, for allowing me to tell you about my podcast, the Someone You Should Know podcast. We spotlight musicians, authors, and interesting people, and we like to say we're making a difference one artist at a time. The podcast is heard twice a week on Mondays and Thursdays, and you can check it out on your favorite streaming platforms and on the web at someoneyoushouldknowpodcast.com. That's the Someone You Should Know podcast with me, Rick Anthony, making a difference one artist at a time.
So here's a question. This is a question I don't think we've ever asked before. And somebody said, you know what you should ask people on your podcast? And I was like, no, what? And they said, well, yeah, that sounds like a good idea. So we're going to ask them to see what happens. All right. Perfect stranger. You never met this person before. I don't care if it male, female, doesn't matter. You're at a gig, right? They walk up to you and you're sitting at a table, maybe having a drink or something in between sets. And they sit down and they just literally sit down right at your table. And they start talking to you and saying, oh, you guys are great. That's fantastic. It's great. I'm glad you're here. I love your music. This is awesome. Where does the conversation go from there? How kind of conversations are you having with your fans out there? See, I stumped them.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of different ways I could answer that. but generally it's gratitude, you know.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks a lot, man. You know, we put a lot of time into this, and you know, do you have any follow-up questions? Because we're usually distracted, we're thinking of 50 different things during the gig, and in between sets we're trying to figure out what we did wrong and how we can fix it and why our monitors aren't working.
You need a sound guy.
Of course.
Yeah,
guess who that is. Sometimes they'll ask a question that'll be more of a technical question or maybe even a historical question about the bands that you can engage with them. I'm generally not asking them too many questions other than what maybe brought you here tonight.
Right.
We just played a gig at Sundance where we opened for Seventh Heaven.
Okay.
And, a lot of the fans were there for Seventh Heaven, but, a lot of them said they came because we opened for them too. They wanted to see us at the same time. So
right. We
were kind of asking him, what brought you here? You know?
Right.
So, that's probably the most common question I would fire back with.
I can imagine. Oh, we came here to see Seventh Heaven.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they're not here yet. So stick around for some FOCO.
Right. So you've got very specific music that you're playing that we've just talked about. So when you're singing, do you think that you sound like these singers? Do you try to sound like these singers? Or
I do try.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm pretty spot on in most cases, but like all singers, you have your moments.
Yeah.
You know? So still working on those moments.
Yeah. I'd imagine Paul Rogers is probably the hardest to sound like.
It's probably the easiest for me.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Because he's got those moments of gravel in his voice, and then he's got moments where he really doesn't have the gravel in his voice. He almost sounds like two different singers sometimes, in my opinion.
To circle back around to who we could play, didn't Paul Rogers play with Queen for a while too?
Yeah,
he did.
He did.
Yes, he did.
So you can change it up if you need to.
Yeah,
just goes to show his range, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
What's the hardest song you think we do for you to sing?
He just takes over the podcast.
Yeah, questions. I'm asking you guys questions.
I'm leaving.
Well, I can tell you the easiest song is "Feels Like the First Time," but since it's the last song of the night, it's the hardest.
Oh,
it's tough. It's tough at that time.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah,
you know, I'm a vocalist as well, and I always used to do things like I wanted to put the harder songs toward the beginning of the set. Because I figured by the end of the set, I'm going to be worn out and I'm not going to be able to sing them well. And then somebody had the brilliant idea at a gig one night and they said, you know, we have a lot of people here that have seen us for like the past 10 gigs in a row. Let's just play everything in reverse so it sounds like it's new to them. And I put the harder stuff at the end of the set and I found out that I was more warmed up and I sang it better. So now we do it that way. Does that work for you?
I like a curve.
Yeah.
Easy at the beginning, a little harder in the middle, and then softer at the end.
But, that would make sense too.
But I usually don't have a choice.
Yeah.
Yeah. The set list was made before me. So okay. I follow the routine.
Come on. You're the lead singer, dude. The world revolves around you.
You ask his wife. She says the same thing.
You can change it up a little bit. Yeah. Yeah.
No, so prior to this and the project, other projects you're doing, what other bands have you guys played with?
Oh, geez.
Back in the day.
Oh, man, I was in a band. Well, you know, some of the band's names get recycled over the years. And I think this band name has been used more than once in the Chicagoland areas. But Pop Rocks was one. Mm-hmm. It was somewhat of a wedding band without any of the slow stuff. It was all the dance stuff for the wedding band. And then there was a band called Run for Covers.
There was. I do remember that.
Yeah, we used to, on the way down here, I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to the casino. We played at the casino quite a bit.
Right, right.
And that band had a multi-instrumentalist that played sax. Mm-hmm. Ironically, Andy plays sax too, but he plays a...
We call it the sex.
The sex.
We need
sex.
Yeah, more sex.
In
the monitor. Do you actually play the sax in some of your songs?
No, Andy does.
Andy's
the keyboard. Well, I was just
pointed at him when he's
doing the French, the Italian thing.
Don't forget, he's interviewing him now.
That's right. He is. Yeah.
You know, Andy plays a controller. That's a wind controller.
Okay.
So he in the songs that there is sax, he gets up and plays the wind controllers.
Right. Right. Right.
It's pretty amazing.
Yeah. It's kind of cool. Yeah.
That is a neat little instrument. That is pretty cool. I actually have respect for keyboard players that can do that because one of the things that we talk about on this podcast all the time are bands that play with a lot of tracks. So there's four guys on stage and then you hear a saxophone solo and you're looking around for the saxophone player and there's nobody there. Yes. But at least if you have somebody that can simulate that and who's actually playing it, I kind of have respect for that.
Yeah, we are no tracks. I know that's a big topic that comes up usually more with musicians than anybody else.
Right.
It seems the fans are unaware.
They don't have a clue.
They don't have a clue. And it's really a shame because, I get why bands do it. And, if it's done well, it can be good.
Right.
I know Van Halen did it. So it's one of my favorite bands. And if they're good doing it, it's hard to judge other people for doing it.
Would Van Halen have an iPad out front, do you think?
No.
No iPad for Van Halen?
No. That's not fair because a lot of times the iPad for me is to control the sound in my ears. I'm not looking at the lyrics or the music. I'm controlling the sound of my ears. So just to throw that blanket statement out, it is a little unfair to some of the people that are a little bit more technically savvy and can remember the song.
Right. And people have asked me, I always have an iPad on my microphone stand and people think I'm reading lyrics, but I'm not. That controls my in-ear monitors.
Exactly.
I've got an image of the mixer board right there, right?
Yeah,
I can
put
this guitar in, I can put the bass in. We've got a 4-piece horn section. Can't hear the saxophone. I can do all that stuff.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. Now, in those people's defense, if you go down to Nashville and you got one solo guitar player and he can play just about anything by looking up, Guitar Guru or whatever the software is he's using and pull off the song for the crowd to be happy. Cause, that's how they're going to make their money is off of tips. So,
oh yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
But I make fun of those people too.
Yeah. Yeah, we all do. But we all cheat. We all got to do it a little bit sometimes.
Yeah. You know, that people, they a lot of times you'll hear, you know, the cover bands, you know, oh, they're just covering another band. Well, you know, when you go to Italy, you go to art school, guess what? You paint the masters. That's how you learn.
Yeah, that's right.
Right.
You know, so I feel it's unfair for people to judge based on the fact that you just play covers. It doesn't mean you're a bad musician because you don't write your own music. The Chicago Symphony Orchestra doesn't write their own music either.
Yeah, right.
You know? Oh,
yeah.
When we've had a number of bands in here that, you know, do original stuff, and it's a tough business doing original stuff. Yes, clubs right. don't want that. Yeah. You know, the fan, unless your fan base understands it, but people never heard you before, they don't want to listen to that stuff.
Well, the irony of Seventh Heaven is they've done that right.
Right.
They play a mix of covers and then they throw in an original. And if that original is good, they keep playing it. If it's right. not, they bury it.
Right. 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 That's you're exactly right. Yeah. And they've had stuff played on the radio. I mean, you can drive down the road and hear Seventh Heaven on the radio doing an original song. They've done a good job of it. And they're not trying to be an original band. They're trying to be a band that entertains.
Entertainers.
And they throw their own music in every once in a while. And they've been fortunate enough to have some songs on the radio. So they've got a little bit of both worlds going on.
Yep.
That's a good formula. You can't fault them for that at all. So
Chad, your background.
My background.
You know, your other bands you've played with over the years. And
boy, that's a long story.
You got time.
I got to be at work by 6 o'clock tomorrow morning, Chad. So.
Well, it all started. I was just playing piano at home and singing along. And I joined my first band at 16, mm-hmm. Night Child. And we played out in Detroit. I'm from Detroit.
So. All right.
So from there, that went on. I moved to Lansing and ended up in an original band called Concrete Jungle. Mm-hmm. And then we started learning some covers and stuff. And we started playing out. And I did that for a while and did a little touring band with Kingpin. Mm-hmm. We toured around mostly the Midwest. And then I got tired of that because I was sleeping on people's living room floors. I didn't make any money. I was like, how am I going to eat tomorrow kind of thing? And I sat in front of a TV and Be All You Can Be came on. And, I went and beat all I could beat.
Beat all you could beat?
For about 7 years.
So, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I just started up doing this again during COVID.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Thank you for your service.
Yeah. Wow. Sorry. So you've only been doing this since you started it up again, been doing this since COVID, you said.
Yeah.
So you got out of the Army?
Oh, no. I got out of the military, got my degrees.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Got a comfortable living.
Okay.
Gotcha. So I'm not sleeping on floors.
Right. What's your day job?
I'm an engineer.
Engineer?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
All right.
It's one of the big three.
Railroads?
No.
I was thinking that too.
Telecom.
Big three what? Automotive?
ABA? Yeah. I'm an engineer. Yeah.
Choo-choo.
No.
not like that. Not choo-choo.
Wow.
Once upon a time, there was an engineer. Choo-choo Charlie was his name, we hear. He had an engine and he sure had fun. He's good and plenty candy to make his train run.
Junction.
So he's a smart guy over here. What do you do? What's your day job?
Oh, Jesus. That's worse. That's more sordid than my musical career.
I mean, you're a little old for a stripper.
Yeah. As long as they can tuck the dollars in my belt, that's all that matters. Yeah.
And next on the pole.
Okay, so this is a funny story. I digress. In the band Pop Rocks, we did own a stripper pole, and that was the most magical thing ever for a cover band. Just saying.
I'd seen Pop Rocks many times. You were in Pop Rocks. That's really cool.
Pop Rocks. Yeah.
I was in a band years ago and we opened up for you guys.
What was the name of that band?
Pop Rocks. We opened up for Pop Rocks. I can't think of the year, but the band that I was in was called Static. And I'm trying to think of where it was.
We played at 191 a lot of times, which is something different now. We played at the casino a couple of
times. Jamo's Live, it's called.
Yeah, Jamo's Live.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Really? I didn't realize that.
It was something else.
It used to be
where we'll be this Sunday. Yeah. There was another name somewhere in there, too. I can't remember what that was. Anyway.
Yeah, it was.
I always wanted to be a guitar player, and my dad frowned upon that, so he made me go to college. And I was on the 6/7-year plan. Ultimately got a degree in aviation maintenance and spent about 8 months working on airplanes and then decided that's not what I really wanted to do. for personal reasons, which are now legal, ironically. So then I took a job in the steel business, and I worked in the steel business, and I was kind of helped the department that sold to the aviation division. And then I got married, and I ended up having to change jobs for a personal relationship that happened even before I knew my wife. Again, this is way too much information, but I ended up in the finance business, something called factoring. Mm-hmm. And I did that for about 10 years. And then I got divorced from my first wife, and I decided I'm going to do what I wanted to do.
Right.
So I had gotten a home inspector license. So I was doing home inspecting, freelancing, and then I ended up starting to work for a sound company. They're called AccuTrack Solutions. They're now out of Elk Grove Village. They do a lot of larger productions during the summer, big fests and things like that. And I did that all the way up till last year as a part-time job. Hmm. But then I also got into doing conditional collateral inspections for different types of vehicles, trucks, stuff like that. I mean, right. I ended up having my own company from about 2006 and just kind of did my own thing and made my own way and made my own money.
Right.
Then the wife had a bug to go move to Florida, and all these things didn't really translate well to moving into a new state with no contacts. So we went to go do a photo shoot just before Chad joined us. And I decided to call some of my friends that were still in the aviation business. And I kind of lucked out, but I called the other guitar player, Tom. And in the car with Tom was this buddy of his who, his daughter was dating the son of a president of an air charter company, and they happened to have a Learjet that we could use to take band photos with.
Which, oh, wow.
Wow. Yeah,
it was fantastic. The photo shoot went great. And then three guys left the band, and then that's how we ended up with Chad.
And we scrapped those photos. We couldn't even use them. They're so cool.
You could Photoshop them.
Yeah, I guess you could Photoshop them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But at the time, the president of the company showed up for the photo shoot. He wanted to see the shoot. And he found out I had an A&P license, which is a license to work on airplanes. And
sure. He
offered me a job.
Nice.
So, knowing that my wife wanted to move to Florida and I could walk on almost any airfield if I just had a little bit of experience back in the field, I went back into aviation.
Yeah.
December, they had a little bit of a reduction in force, and I ended up over at a place called Rev Aviation in Aurora, which is a maintenance facility, what they call Part 145. That does,
hence the Rev on your shirt.
That is correct.
That's what I asked when I walked in here.
Came right from work. Yeah. And here's your, it took me a while to answer that question, but you got the answer.
I thought I had a story. Mine's not that long.
No, not at all. I asked that question.
Can I get more of me in the monitor, please? Please
check one, two, check. That's my job.
Who is this guy over here?
I asked that question because, I mean, that's kind of the point of this podcast, that people go out and see you, you know, all the time. They know who you are on stage, but I found that, you know, a lot of our, you know, call them fans. I don't like calling them fans. I like to call them friends. They want to know what you do when you're not standing on stage, because they don't get a chance to see you or talk to you, and you know, or you know, anything. They just think that you're a guitar player. And people, you know, when people find out that I have a day job, they're like, "You do?" Because I mean, I play a lot, and they see me around and everything. And I tell them what I do for a living, and I usually get this look.
He's moving his head up and down.
With a really? Because I guess I don't look smart. So yeah,
well, it's interesting. You know, they think you do this 7 days, to play guitar 7 days a week,
or you're a wrestler,
The
Rock,
or like
the
Rock. That, And they think you're married, you have two kids. Wow, you have two kids in college. It's great. Oh my God, how do you do that? Just playing guitar. You know, sometimes I go with it. You know, just hey, you know, it's a tough life, babe. Yeah,
it is. If that's all you're,
that's all you're doing, it sure is.
Yeah. So what do you guys have coming up on the calendar? What do you guys have coming out toward
May,
mid to end of May?
We got July 12th right now at the Broken Oar.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And again, part of the challenge of having these guys being consummate musicians in a lot of different bands.
Yeah.
And then we also have personal lives. Pretty much April and May, we're all on vacation and or other gigs and or just not available for reasons or not.
You know where you guys would do well? And you should totally check this out. There's a bar on this side of town in Joliet, right off of I-55, that is very similar to the Broken Oar. It's called the Big Basin. It's right on the Des Plaines River. It's the same kind of place. People come up with their boats and their jet skis, and they've got an outdoor stage and the whole bit.
Is that yacht rock musical?
No, it isn't.
It's actually on I-55 when you take that big trestle bridge over the river.
Yeah.
The bar is underneath the bridge.
Yeah. I think I've been there. We used to ride our motorcycles there when I was a motorcycle.
Yeah, I mean, and it is still, I mean, it's a biker bar. You go there on a Saturday afternoon or a Sunday afternoon when the bars are playing out there on the deck. I mean, there'll be, you know, 200, 300 bikes in the parking lot, and hot rods. So it's like the Broken Oar.
Just like the Broken Oar, yeah.
Go and check that place out. My band's regular sound guy, the 10th member of our band, he's got the house system there.
Yeah.
And so I got a hookup for you, but you guys would do great there. They would absolutely freaking love you guys at the Basin.
Foreigner, you check that out. Go good with bikers.
Oh, yeah. Any of that stuff. Any of the stuff that you guys do would go well. Yeah. I mean, if you guys do well at Broken Oar, you'll do good at the Basin.
Yeah.
So, Jess, I know you're listening to this podcast.
Let's get it done. right now that's the only thing we have on the calendar. And, I mean, a lot of the clubs are actually booking for fall already. Believe it or not.
Oh, I know.
So some of the things we have on the radar that we're very close to getting dates is, the Four Winds Casino in Michigan.
That was our very first show
was the Four Winds Casino in New Buffalo.
Yeah. Wow. Nice.
Yeah.
Go out of state in case you sucked.
Yeah. That's a big gig. That's a big gig. If that was for your first gig to play Four Winds Casino, that's a big deal. That's a big gig. Yeah.
Well, it was his first gig. Let's clarify. Oh,
okay.
That,
gotcha. Right? Gotcha. Yeah. Gotcha. Okay. All right. Gotcha.
They're going to have tribute nights on and Fridays in the fall, and they're asking us for dates for that. Nice. So it's just a matter of nailing down a couple of dates that we can send to them. I'm sure you're aware of what's happening with the Brower House.
Yeah. It's called Humo. Yeah. Humo Smokehouse or something like that now. Yeah.
Yeah. So, they've contacted us. They've asked us for dates in May and we were only able to give them one day.
Hey, it is what it is, right?
Yeah. So now they're also asking for September. So, I mean, right now we're kind of booking for later in the year, which seems to be, kind of what goes on for us. We play a couple dates in the summer upside. We'd love to hear from these guys. What was the name of the bar you said?
The Big Basin.
The Big Basin.
Yeah. Yeah. Contact Jess Bruno. Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
We'll get that information before we
How can wait. People find you? You guys got a webpage?
Yeah. It's, we have a web address. It's a Foco. ChicagoBand.com. Let me make sure that's what that is, because
let's name that so you can never find it.
Yeah. Foco Chicago Band.
I think if you search Foco, it goes to some Tupperware manufacturer or something.
Yeah. And where did this name come from?
Well, that's another good story.
Foreigner and Bad Company.
Well, we decided when we first got together, we decided to call ourselves Foreigner and Company.
And that got
us a little bit in trouble because people thought Foreigner was playing with their friends.
So we
decided we needed to change our name, and what we came up with is just shortening the names. The Foco, and then I don't really have a lighter with me, but this is kind of the logo.
Okay.
We kind of borrowed from the original Bad Company logo. And that's where we came up with that.
Okay. When I first said Foco, I thought they were saying folk ho. And I was like, folk ho. They do a bunch of, I don't know.
You thought a bunch of hoes were coming in here?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. Okay.
We call ourselves the Folkers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
The mothers of all.
FocoBand.com is our URL. So it's FOCOBand.com. But that really just brings you to our Facebook page, because do you need more than that?
No, you don't.
You really don't. So
Facebook is king for inviting people to shows. It really is.
Inviting people to shows, showing them old videos, giving you bio information. I mean, it's pretty much a whole website.
Sharing your podcast when it comes out.
Absolutely.
Right. Yeah.
Promoting you guys. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
Well, all righty, well, guys.
Thanks, guys. Yeah.
Thanks a lot for coming out. You know, you had a bit of a drive. We really appreciate it.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry we didn't get to ask you more questions.
Yeah. Maybe we'll start another podcast. Have the bands come in here and interview us. In.
Yeah. Hollywood Buzz, right? That's right. Now that you've talked to about 1,000 different cover bands, right, what can you tell us to help us? Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, right. We really appreciate it. And thank you guys for having us out. This has been a great experience. And, you know, we really look forward to building up our fan base and having a good time playing some Foreigner and some Bad Company and a little bit of Badfinger.
Sounds good. Thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Well, that was interesting.
Yes, it was.
I'm telling you, Foreigner, Bad Company,
yeah,
and I love Bad Finger.
I love that music.
I do too. Yeah. That's from my time, man.
Yeah, I'm going to have to see where I can find them.
Yeah, I mean, it's some unique music. People don't play that stuff anymore.
No, never. Hmm. No, you've never heard of tribute bands with those three bands before.
Nope. But, man. You know, most tribute bands are like within the last 10, 20 years or so, going back to the 70s.
Yeah, you know, and I can tell just by talking to them that they're both really good musicians.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the people that they know.
Yep.
Yeah. You don't hang out with those guys.
No. unless, not at all.
Yeah. Unless you're
really good. Musician.
So yeah, go check them out, everybody.
Yeah, definitely. As go check out everybody that we interview, please. So otherwise, like always, thanks for listening. See you next week, every Tuesday, for another exciting episode of the Rock and Roll Chicago Podcast. See ya.
The Rock and Roll Chicago Podcast is edited by Paul Martin. Theme song courtesy of M&R Rush. The Rock and Roll Chicago Podcast does not own the rights to any of the music heard on the show. The music is used to promote the guests that are featured. Rock and Roll Chicago. Rock and Roll.